So this week, I want to invite you again, Wednesday night, come. Listen to this teaching. Let's receive communion. Let's start on this journey to the day of resurrection. And you're going to listen to this teaching this morning, why it's so important. But I want to continue. The title of my message is Moving Past Your Brokenness into Wholeness. How many of you like to move past your brokenness in life into wholeness? Okay, the rest of you sit there politely, please. How many of you would like to move past your brokenness into wholeness? Good. You know, it's going to require that we stop speaking defeat over situations that God is still working on. You know, the Bible says He takes us from glory to glory, from one faith to another faith. This week, I want to encourage you to choose words that build, bless, and believe. Build, bless, and believe. Build, bless, and believe. Having said that, I got you some more confessions. You can pick them up at the end of the service. More prayers. These are a lot of prayers. You can pray them all, or you can pray just what you want, just like I did this morning. I just took a couple of them there. Because I want you to leave with tools that you can put into action. Because you need to choose words that build, bless, and believe in your life instead of tear down, curse, and doubt. You need to declare God's goodness daily. And if you do that, you're going to watch how your faith rises up. Your declarations can shape your expectations and actually start to strengthen your trust in God. Let me say it again. Your declarations, such as this, can shape your expectations. What are you expecting in life? What's your expectations? We have two weddings coming up, one in April and one in May. And one of the things that I tell these young people says, all right, here's your assignment. Go home and write down what your expectation of marriage is, each one individually. Because I think a lot of times we have different expectations, and then we come together and we say, well, I wasn't believing, you know, I thought it was going to be different. So what's your expectation for your life? What's your expectation of God? Your declaration, though, can shape that expectation, and it begins to strengthen your trust and your faith in God. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So you see, by the power of your tongue, if you're speaking God's word over you, you can start changing the atmosphere around you. And as you change that, it's going to transform you. It's going to transform the way you think. It's going to transform the way your emotions are expressed. It's going to even transform your actions. You see, because you want to change, right? How many of you are happy with your life and you don't want no change? All right, I'm in the right place. How many of you like to see God transform your life and bring godly change into your life? All right. Let me tell you, people change in four different seasons. Number one, people change when they hurt enough and they have to change. My man, the pain is so, you just want to change. Number two, when they see enough that they're inspired to change. That's what I'm trying to do here, is inspire you. Number three, when they learn enough that they want to change. When all of a sudden they learn, hey, I don't have to stay poor. I don't have to stay sick. I don't have to stay miserable. I don't have to stay jealous. I don't have to stay envious. I can prosper and be in good health as my soul prospers. They learn truth. They learn the gospel. They learn what God says about them. Number four, when they receive enough that they're able to change. That's why it's good to come to church, so you can receive enough revelation that produces a transformation. Listen, don't come to church just to get knowledge, because then you're just going to know a lot of stuff. But come to church to take that knowledge, let it become a revelation that's going to produce a godly transformation that's going to cause you to explode. Come on, somebody. All right. So these are the four times that people change. But for a follower of Christ, change should be a daily thing, kind of like changing your socks. That was a joke. Come on. Ha, 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 ha. Gee, you're a tough crowd this morning. So we go from one glory to another, one faith to another faith. And I think a lot of times people don't like to change. They like it the way it is. I mean, I've done it this way for 20 years. Why do you want me to change now? Well, maybe God has something better for you. Right? I mean, sometimes you need to change something in your life. My wife's always changing the furniture around the house. So I better make sure if I get up at night and I'm going to walk through the house that I have a flashlight, because what was there today might be over here and I might run into it. But see, there are times that we need to put our feet to faith. And I think a lot of times we misunderstand faith and we think that we just need to just believe God and sit back and watch God do it all. But actually, we need to do something that makes our hearts more sensitive to hear God's voice and position ourselves to be led by Holy Spirit. Do you know that God is speaking to you at this moment? At this moment, God is speaking into your heart. The issue is, are you listening? See, so change can come into our lives as we open our heart and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then our goal is to be like Jesus. But this requires that we go through a process where we're changed from one glory to another, where we're manifesting His presence in our lives. He's grown our faith. He's making us stronger. Our declarations now are coming into alignment with God's will. And all of a sudden, we start to see the way we think change, our emotions change, and we start to live in victory over those things that used to bring us down. So I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. I want to look at the book of Joshua this morning. I want to start with Joshua chapter 6. And you can just open it there and you can kind of just follow along with me. I'm not going to take time to read the whole story. A lot of you know the story. Maybe a lot of you don't know the story. But this story is found in the first few verses. And I'm going to preach out of this book this morning, the book of Joshua, and the change that God actually brought to that group of people, the Israelites, when change seemed impossible. Because I think a lot of times we look at that and we say, change seems impossible. My marriage will never change. My work conditions will never change. My health issue will not change. My single life will not change. And on and on and on. And I think a lot of times we look that everything is impossible. But let me tell you something. You serve a God that is the God of impossibilities, and He makes all things possible. And see, God brought this change to the Israelites when change seemed impossible, because they had been through 40 years of the same old. The same old stuff. 40 years of doing the same stuff. It's 40 years of the status quo. And I think sometimes we look at our city, we look at our nation, we look at our state, and we say, it'll never change. Well, your confession just reinforced that. So if you're saying in your home, things will never change, my kids will never change, my husband will never change, my wife will never change, my boss will never change, you're just reinforcing that. So now God is taking these people through a transition from the same old, to crossing into the promised land that He had promised them when He brought them out of Egypt. He said, you're going to go through the wilderness, but you're going to go across the Jordan into the promised land, the land of milk and honey. But because of their disobedience, because of their mindset, they wandered around for 40 years. And I think that's a lot of ways with us. We wander around, we know Jesus, but we never respond to Jesus. We never give Jesus that place in our hearts where He can bring the necessary change. So we wander around for 40 years in the wilderness. But they had to confront some walls. He says, I'm going to cause you to cross into the promised land. The promised land for you is the Lord Jesus Christ and all his benefits. Hallelujah. All his blessings. Yes. The Bible says he's laid up spiritual blessings in heaven for you. Yes. See, but they would have to confront some walls to keep him from a prosperous life. So I'm preaching today about the walls will fall as we, guess what we're going to do this coming week if you want to join me because your pastor is going to do this, as we fast and pray. Because God wants some walls to come down from your lives. He wants those walls destroyed that are holding you back from the blessings that he has for you. God wants you to walk in those blessings, but sometimes circumstances, life, even the devil, even yourself, your own flesh, we build walls up. And it keeps us from inheriting those blessings. So I'm preaching today about walls that were going to fall. Because of your faith, though, it's going to happen. See, God is opening up a very blessed future for you. You got to believe this. God is opening up a blessed future for you. I want you to say it. God is opening. He's opening up a blessed future for me. Just waiting for me to respond. See, what Lot, yes, come on, give him praise. What lies ahead is not random, guys. It is lovingly prepared by a faithful God. But God has been at work in your life, bringing that transformation in you, taking you through what we call a process. He wants you to inherit that blessing, but he doesn't want you to inherit it the way you've been thinking over here, the way you've been allowing your emotions to find expression in your life. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature because the blessing that he has for you, he doesn't want it lost. He wants you to grow into that place where you can sustain that blessing. So he works on our character. He brings our character to come and line up as a character of Christ. And he strengthens our faith. So now, even if the road feels uncertain in your life, his direction is always trustworthy because God sees the full picture while you only see a part of it. You only see what's in front of you. Every step of obedience today is actually leading you into tomorrow's blessing. Amen. Let me say it again. Every step of obedience that you take today, obedience to God's word, to him, is leading you into tomorrow's blessing. Hallelujah. Let me say it a different way. Every step of disobedience that you take today is leading you away from it. But you can't be discouraged by slow progress or unanswered questions. I have questions. Why, God? But you can't be discouraged by that because God will always guide you with his wisdom and not with haste. But you got to keep trusting his direction even when it stretches your faith. How many of you have been stretching your faith? God, I'm believing for healing, but I don't feel very good. Hey, that was me yesterday. Asked my wife. I told her, man, I just don't feel good. I have no energy. I just don't feel good. And I'm thinking, how am I going to preach tomorrow? Well, I know how I'm going to preach tomorrow. I got to change my confession from I don't feel good to Lord, I'm healed by your stripes. Lord, in my weakness, you make me strong. And this morning I got up and I'm thinking, wow, what a difference. Hallelujah. So, you know, you got to trust in this direction. Now, I've been fasting this last year. I fasted. Many of you know you fasted with me. You prayed. And I've got 7 days that I'm going to fast in this prayer season. So you would ask, why are you fasting, Pastor, when we are in this current move of God and we're enjoying this move that God is doing in our lives? Well, the short answer is this. I never stop pursuing God, his purpose, and his will. I never stop pursuing God. And the other day I got up and I said, I found myself saying this out loud to myself because nobody was in the room. I said, we're missing something. What is it that we're missing? And then I heard the Spirit of God say into my soul, into my spirit, man. He said, why don't you seek me? Why don't you spend a time fasting and prayer? See, what it does, it makes your spirit, man, be a little more sensitive to him. It doesn't move the hand of God anymore, but it makes you more sensitive to his voice. So, you know, you would ask that. And I never stop pursuing God. And I like to pray, God, what are you doing in this season? And what's my part in it? I want to know what my part in it so I can partner with you because you're the CEO. How do you want me to partner with you? See, I believe that God is doing miraculous things around us, but it takes a pressing in. It takes a believing that God is a supernatural God and he wants to do supernatural things in your life. And he actually wants to confirm his word in your life from heaven. Amen. He wants to bring healing to your body. Amen. He wants to bring a breakthrough in your finances. Amen. He wants to bring a breakthrough in your relationships. He wants to bring your friends that will help you in your walk with the Lord. He wants to bring you whatever you need in your life to be prosperous because God delights in the prosperity of his children. But it takes a step of faith because faith without works is dead. So many times people just sit back and wait for God to put everything together in their life. But you need to apply his word. You need to press in. We need to exercise our faith. See, a miracle occurs. You know what a miracle is? Let me tell you what a miracle is. When the Cowboys reach Super Bowl. No. Well, a miracle occurs when the supernatural overtakes the natural. When all of a sudden something in God's world overtakes something in your world. But there are walls that spring up to hold back what God wants to do in your life. People can put up walls. No. You can put up walls, doubt, unbelief, cynicism, offenses. Circumstances in life can put up walls. Not your fault, nobody's fault, just something happened. Not everything's the devil, guys. Y'all give too much credit to the devil. But having said that, if you're unseating darkness, sometimes the devil can put up a wall. Walls represent in your life anything that you are believing God for that's trying to hold it back. So I want to explore in today's message the power that's behind fasting and prayer and the power to bring walls down in your life. I'm not going to tell you what these two important meetings are this coming week. But I believe that God did not make a mistake when he told me fast and pray because there are some walls that need to come down. I may get answers, I may not. But regardless of what happens in this week, my faith is in God. See, the enemy likes to keep you from accessing the promises of God in your life. And to keep you bound up to anxiety, to keep you lost, confused, even bound up to yesterday's pain. He wants you to always be thinking about yesterday's pain, bound up to that. What they said, what they did, what happened to you. I had a great dream this morning. I woke up dreaming. God took me back to 2007, an experience I had with him. For a whole week, I was with him. He revealed the Trinity to me, the three facets of the Trinity, the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By the end of the week, I was done. I mean, he took me through a process. He took me through a school of obedience. By Thursday, I was beat. I was done. I said, I can't do this anymore. And then he revealed himself that Thursday evening, and that Friday there was such a victory. And let me tell you, because I got that, I was able to walk in 2008, which was a bad year for a lot of people, in victory. But what I'm saying is I woke up with this just impression of love in my heart, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And see, that's what he wants you to understand. Things don't seem to be going right now for you, but God is still faithful to you. See, the enemy wants to keep you bound up in your mind to your physical pain, your emotional pain, your mental pain, relational pain, pain. Walls to keep you in hopelessness, discouragement, fear. But this morning, I stand here as your pastor, and I want to get your faith up this morning. I want to get your joy up this morning, because I want you to get ready for the walls to fall, just like when the Israelites walked around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. And if you don't know the story, you can find the book of Joshua, beautiful. It was a simple instruction as they crossed the Jordan River from the wilderness into the promised land. All that generation that had come from Egypt had died. God would not let them cross in because of their unbelief. Their declarations that they made were always of unbelief, of I can't, God can't. And it was all negative, negative, negative. Until that generation died, the new generation says, okay, God says, now it's time for you to cross the Jordan into the promised land, because you're going to be different than that old generation was. So my question to you is this morning, do you want to stay with the mindset of a wilderness mindset, or do you want the new mindset that says, I can go into the promised land today? See, it was a simple instruction as they crossed the Jordan. And they came upon the town of Jericho. That was an obstacle to them because the enemies lived in that city. That tells us, even though you're going into the promised land, you're going to have to fight some enemies. And God gave them the instruction, march around Jericho for 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around the city for 7 days. And the walls around the city would fall, destroyed, and they could then conquer their enemies. Do what I tell you is what God is saying. And in that same power of obedience, we're going to walk around the walls in your life. Do you hear me? See, here's the point. God only knows what's behind that wall, the thing that you have dreamed of or for, or the thing that you have prayed for, or the thing that God has promised you. Behind that wall that is keeping it from you. He knows what's behind it. He knows what is at work keeping it from you. For them, it was a promised land. For you, it is the promises of what God has placed deep in your spirit. Even those things he has whispered to you, such as, I can deliver you out of your misery and into my purposes. Or, I can bring your dream to pass. Or, I can connect you to those who bring life to you. Or, I can raise you up from your discouragement. Or how about this? I can heal your spirit. I can heal your body. I can heal your soul from trauma that you've suffered. Or how about this? I can defeat the walls that won't move. Some of you have walls from people. And they're always hounding you. And you know what it's about? Your focus is on the people instead of God. And that's why they have an influence in your life. See, I fasted this past year. And I'm starting this 7-day fast. It's more or less a Daniel fast. No meat, no bread, no sugar. Hi. You know, I'll eat some fruit. We're not legalistic about it, because it's about sacrifice. Maybe you need to focus on fasting social media. I've chosen to sacrifice something very dear to me. Vanilla ice cream with strawberries on top. All for the sake of the kingdom. But I know that when I have a prayer request, I'll call Erica, and she always tells me, Pastor, I'm going to fast and pray over that. I can depend on her to do that. Well, so then what's the big deal about that? Obviously, those who have not tried it, well, obviously the enemy is trying his best to block and keep you out of your promised land. He's whispered lies to you like, it's not never going to happen. You'll never get free. What's the point of trying? It doesn't work. It's too late. That situation is hopeless. Or he'll say it like this. Oh, come on, that spiritual stuff, that's for the fanatics. The Lord is saying today that through prayer and through fasting for the next 7 days, whatever walls the enemy has put up in your life, those walls are going to fall in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen now carefully. No more. I'm going to be bold and I'm going to preach it like I want to preach it. No more will the enemy hinder you from your blessings. I believe you're about to see what's on the other side of that pain that you've been through. It's going to bring joy, unspeakable and full of glory. But you need to exercise your faith and put your prayers to feet. How many of you still making those confessions I gave you the other day? Some of you took it home and did it once maybe. And where is it? I gave you tools. It's time. Quit being passive. Passivity is a demon. At least I think it is. I'll call it that because it keeps you from pressing, from being zealous to God, being passionate for God. See, it's time for change. And somebody needs to shout, the walls are coming down. Yes. The walls are coming down. Yes. See, I believe that with all my heart, that when we fast and we pray and we're seeking the face of God, not just the hand of God, we're acknowledging that we need spiritual help. And when we fast and we pray, we're humbling ourselves before God. We are exercising our faith. We are saying faith without works is dead, as written in James 2. Jesus said in Mark 9:29, he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And just like they heard from God, he said to them, we have heard from God. And he said, fast and pray and watch me bring the walls down. Hallelujah. Some of you need some of those walls of rudeness to come down. Unbelief, doubt, cynicism. Let me tell you, there are various reasons to fast. You may be in a health issue, or you may be in the middle of a crisis. That's a time to fast and pray and seek the face of God. The Bible talks about Israel, and they needed safety and protection and direction. They proclaimed the fast. They fasted for a safe journey for their children. God granted them that request. There's a time to fast when you need to give a fast as an act of repentance. 1 Samuel, they also went without food all day, confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. Saint, if you've done something, if you've messed up, listen, we all mess up. If you got some sin that has latched onto you, fast those 7 days and say, God, I'm fasting, I'm confessing, I've sinned. Set me free, I want to be free again. Let me tell you something, those 7 days that the wall has kept you back from God's best can fall flat. And you can be free from this time next Sunday completely. Listen, department heads of ministry. Here, or maybe you would like to start a ministry. Acts 19, verse 23. Before they started the ministry, Paul and Barnabas, they fasted. That's why I always ask leaders to pray with me before an event or before you do something in your department. It's one of the things I'm believing for, that the walls are going to come down, because very few, let me just say, department heads, very few of you come and ask me for prayer for your department, even though I've asked you to come. Oh, it got quiet in here. That's a wall that Satan's built up and you've allowed it. And lastly, victory is a purpose to fast. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was outnumbered and he called a fast, and the Bible said when they fasted, God said, the battle is not yours, it's mine, and I'm going to bring you the victory. The next 7 days we're going to go on a Jericho fast and we're going to see the walls fall down. Amen. Saint, this is your opportunity for change. If you want something you've never had, you got to try to do something you've never done, and you can do this. Why do you go around doing the same thing? Why is it that you just do something different? Fast and pray. God said, not that you care, not that anybody cares, and I don't care that anybody cares. But God said, hey, take the mustache off. Why? Just take it off. Okay. Take the mustache off. You mean something like that God would? Well, maybe I have a really intimate relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? How intimate is it? See, listen. If you fast and pray, maybe you'll come out 7 pounds lighter. I mean, seriously. If you jump in right now, no bread, no meat, some vegetables, some fruit, some protein, eat you some nuts, some pecans, whatever else you want, some pistachios. I mean, it's a sacrifice for me. My wife, my God, I tell her, I'm going to fast and pray next week. She says, great, I'm great. She didn't say, I'm going to do it with you. But maybe she is. But do you know what she did all day yesterday? She spent the whole day baking sourdough bread, different types, 4 different types of sourdough bread. 2 of them, they have icing and pecans, and one of them just has icing, and one of them has different seasonings. And I'm like looking at all this bread, and I'm thinking, in my weakness, make me strong. It's by your grace I can overcome temptation. So I tell her this morning as I'm about to leave for church, I said, sweetheart, boy, what are you going to do with all this bread? She said, well, I don't know. You know, we'll eat it, and I'll give some to the kids. I'll give some to your brother. He didn't say my sister. So we'll give some away. And I'm like, gee, okay, I'm starting the fast tomorrow, so I'm going to eat today. But listen, 7 days marching. I'll eat me some squash and vegetables. Yuck. Yes, it's going to be tough. Maybe some green beans and some fruits. My flesh will scream. You know what? It's going to scream. Your flesh is going to scream. You know what? My flesh is going to scream. It's going to say, I want some meat. I want some pork. I want some chorizo. But let me tell you something. It's about your sacrifice today. Today, most people want it like going to Burger King, have it your way kind of stuff. God, I want this, but I want it my way. And God says, I'll give you, but not your way, because your way, you can't sustain the blessing. But as we do this fast the next 7 days, we're demonstrating by our action, I believe in a supernatural God. I believe it. I don't just talk about it. I believe that no wall can defy the God that I serve. And they're going to fall. And I'm fasting and I'm praying, because there are some things that only come down by fasting and prayer. And as you march around those walls these next 7 days, listen to me. I'm talking about spiritual walls of shame, walls of regret, walls of confusion, walls of depression, walls of generational curses, walls of cynicism, walls of unbelief, walls of mental bondage. And they're going to fall. Walls that hinder blessings, walls of hurt, walls of offense, walls of unforgiveness, they're going to fall. Walls of rejection, walls of separation, walls of addiction, and they're going to fall if you act on your faith in God. Yeah. Don't stay in your misery. You're not that bright. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of who? Why do you think we have the mind of Christ? Because he knows that we need his mind. I believe as we obey God, godly suddenlies are going to come. Godly suddenlies are those things that you've been praying for, and then all of a sudden it happens. And you know what your first comment after it happens? Wow, it wasn't really that hard to believe for that. That's a godly suddenly, where God all of a sudden moves in your life. And God's going to do it so quick. It's going to astound you. It's going to blow your mind. You've been believing that for 20 years, and all of a sudden it's going to happen. And you're going to say, wow, why did I worry so much about it? Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight against your enemies. And I love this word, to give you the victory. It's time not to go into this next week weary, sad, and dragging. It's time to realize that the Lord is about to grant us some magnificent victories in our future. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to holler, praise Jesus. See, if we believe and we go after what God said to go after, I believe it. Are you ready? Let me tell you, let me ask you, are you ready to march for your family for 7 days? Are you ready to march for your future for the next 7 days? Do you believe that He has a plan for your future? Do you? You know what I believe? And I remember some of us fasting and praying and walking around this lot right here. We were walking around this lot. It was nothing but a bunch of mesquites, and then they cleared the mesquites. And before you know it, they started to do the dirt work, and they built up the foundation of dirt. And we would march around here praying before there was anything here. And then later, after that dirt work had been done and the foundation had been set, we did it again. And we've done it through the years as the Lord has led us to fast and pray and march around. And we've seen walls fall down, because when we marched around here, there was walls of resistance, financial. We didn't have the money to build this building. Doubt and unbelief, criticism from people. Why are you doing that? What's wrong with that little place you're meeting at on Pine Street? It's full of roaches, for one. I'm talking about walls to keep the promises of God from being fulfilled in your life. If we had not marched around this place, you wouldn't be sitting in that nice chair. The enemy builds walls. It starts with one brick, and he adds another brick and another brick, and the bricks have names. The brick of doubt, the brick of fear, the brick of negative thinking, generational curses, the brick of hate, the brick of unforgiveness, the brick of oppression, the brick of depression, the brick of addictions, and the bricks can keep on piling up, and you name the bricks. And he says, there's no way out. There's no way to be free. Enslaving sin is one of those bricks. But boy, when you get serious about God and you focus your faith on 7 days of fasting and prayer, and all of a sudden, you know what? You've had the brick of uncommitments. You've had the brick of being unfaithful. You've had the brick of not fulfilling your commitments and your obligations. And that brick needs to come down for a lot of people. Your yes has to be yes, and your no needs to be no. And so you jump in on this fast and join us. And I believe that those walls are going to fall, or you can just stay in your misery. But Joshua chapter 6 runs parallel. This story runs parallel with fasting and prayer. For the last 7 days of this fast, I want to give you some quick lessons, really quick, from Joshua's story and the Israelite story and what God is saying to us in this next 7 days. Number one, write it down if you're taking notes. God gave Joshua a simple instruction. He says, get out there and march around the walls of Jericho one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march seven times. He was testing their obedience. Listen, Joshua could have said, this is crazy, this is stupid. I'll just go get a battering ram and I can knock the door down. Why in the world would I do that? It makes no sense, that fasting and prayer stuff. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in that, in miracles. You know what? That's your problem. You don't believe. That's your problem. You're so cynical. You have doubt. But let me tell you something. That's one of the walls that God wants to break in your life. Now, let me tell you something. It's important. You don't fall into methodology, but you understand it's simply about obedience. It's about a relationship with a loving God. It's not so much about a method. It's more about your heart of obedience that responds by faith in a living relationship to Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that He's saying, come on, I love you so much. I gave my life for you. Too many people think that if I do this or do that without a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not the answer. Or if I follow this method, listen to me, that's not the answer. Listen to me. You can fast and you can pray and you know, just and not be about a relationship with the Lord where you're seeking his face and all you're doing is dieting. The answer is having faith in the Almighty God through our relationship through his Son, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and responding in faith, in obedience by faith in him. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, 20, 21. But we often try to fix our problems our way. We think that we think and what we do is all that matters. We take things that matters in our own hands, following, but instead of following God's simple formula of the prescription, he gives us for a miracle. So he gives us an instruction, and one of God's instructions is number two. If you want to see the walls fall, fast and pray for 7 days. Keep going. Keep fasting. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Listen, I'm not going to tell you what to fast. Maybe make it a fast of love, that this week you're purposely not going to be rude to people. And every time you have a temptation to be rude, you go and pray. I hear a lot of chuckling going on. After he gave him a simple plan, and some of you would say, that's too simple, it's not going to work. Truth is, if we'll do what the Bible says, God's going to back it up. But now in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua comes near Jericho and he saw a man with a sword in his hand and he falls at his feet and he begins to worship it. Suddenly when he looks up, even though before he was seeing the massive walls, as they would be higher than the ceiling of this building, those walls were massive. You know, history records that they were probably twice that length. And instead of seeing those walls, he saw someone else who said, I am the captain of the Lord's armies. I am the commander, the one who commands the armies of the heaven. So instead of seeing the wall that was bigger than this ceiling, taller than this ceiling, Joshua gets his focus off the walls, and he gets his focus on that angel who we really know is Jesus. So the point is, you got to get your eyes off the wall, off your rejection, off your offense, off your crisis, and so forth and so forth and so forth for the next 7 days, and get down and begin to worship God and march and pray and obey and get your eyes on Jesus. The simple instruction of getting your eyes off that problem that is so big, those walls that are so high and so thick, get them on Jesus. And the only way you're going to get them on Jesus is if you start to confess Jesus over your life. You know, fix your eyes on the commander of the armies of heaven. Psalm 121, I'm going to look to the hills. Is that where my help comes from? No, my help is from the Lord. Begin to confess God's promises over your life. Meditate on those promises and worship from a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. The Lord is bigger than that wall, and praise and gratitude. Listen to me. When you fast and pray, the focus comes off the problem and it comes on the one who said, I'm the Lord. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to raise you. I'm going to cause your heart to be healed. I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to bless you. And you focus on that one, not on the walls, because fasting makes you do that and prayer makes you do that, because all of a sudden you start to forget that and you start to praise him. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, it says, you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'm going to listen to you, and you're going to seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I am going to be found for you. So in Joshua 5:15, he does something else. He says, the angel tells him, or Jesus tells Joshua, hey, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Now listen to me carefully. That's going to happen to you as you fast this next 7 days, okay? So make sure your socks don't have holes. When he said, take your shoes off, what does that mean? Well, if you go back to when they crossed the Jordan River, the Bible says he caused the river to roll back to a town named Adam. He parted the Jordan. You thought the Red Sea was the only parting, right? He parted the Jordan River. And he caused the river, the water, to roll back to a town named Adam. Who's Adam? Adam and Eve, the first original sin, right? And then downstream, he caused it to roll into the Dead Sea. There's a point here, guys. The principle is here. God rolled every event that started with Adam's sin after they crossed. He rolled the reproach from them. You know, Joshua 5:9. So the Lord was saying to you this day, someone here, as you cross to the promised land into a relationship with Jesus Christ, I rolled back your past. I canceled your past. I went all the way back to your sinful past. He went and washed it away. He canceled it. You've got to stop worrying about it. He's giving you a new beginning. And he rolled it on this side to those things that are dead. He separated as far as the east is from the west from you. God, glory to God. And then the next chapters talk about them reestablishing covenant. It's when you recommit your life. And the Bible says, I removed the reproach of shame from your slavery. Hey, we were sin to religion. We were slaves to self-righteousness, to our own pride. But when we cross the Jordan River ourselves, and one of them is when you choose to be baptized, we cross into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we know our sinful, old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. And it also says there's no more disgrace for us. There no longer remember the shame of our youth or the sorrows of our widowhood. And the shoes, let me tell you about the shoes that they were wearing. The shoes represent the past. So he tells Joshua, take the shoes off. Take the past off. Why do you say it represents the past? Let me prove it. Deuteronomy 29:5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. But let me tell you, those sandals, they had walked through the wilderness. So the dust of everywhere they had been for 40 years, lost in the sin of rebellion, they were still wearing the same shoes. Maybe the wall that needs to come down in your life is you need the wall of your sinful rebellion and shame taken off of you, and you still brought those same shoes when you came to Christ, and God wants you to take those shoes off and throw them away. Amen. He said, I'm not taking you into the same place you've been walking in. You're crossing into the promised land. I need you to take your shoes off. Some of you were raised in some denomination and a religion, and you're still wearing those shoes. Some of you still suffer in the sinful, shameful sins of your past. For what reason? Jesus said there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Take those shoes off. That's not you anymore. Even though they remind you, you tell them, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your old shoes represent where you have walked before. Or maybe it's the painful experiences of yesterday. You're still wearing the shoes of that pain, of that trauma, of what they did, what they said. Saint, let go of the past. The Lord's about to take you into your promised land. You can't bring the old. You got to get rid of the old. You got to take your shoes off. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. The old is keeping you from the change that God wants to bring into your life. Take your shoes off. See, Ephesians 6 verse 15 tells us that the shoes mean something else. It says, have your feet shod with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel. Shoes represent readiness. And here's what I'm trying to get you across, get you to see. So many times we're so ready to go out and get the job done. We're so ready to just, you know, get our shoes on and go make it happen in ourselves. But when you fast and when you pray, God's saying, take your shoes off. In other words, he's saying, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. Take your shoes off, in other words, and just be in my presence. I don't want you to run into the battle. I don't want you to handle this your way. That's what got you in trouble, he's saying. I want you to spend some time with me. I'm the bread of life that will nourish you. All I need, Joshua, for victory the next 7 days is for you to get you to listen to my simple instructions. Excuse me. Believe it, you can do it, but you got to get your focus off the wall and get it on me. And listen, take your shoes off and be still and know that I am God. I've had to do that. I've had to do that, said Lord. Here I am. I acknowledge my dependency on you. I give you the church. I give you these people. I give you my family. He says something even more powerful to Joshua earlier in that book. In Joshua chapter 1, he said 3 times to him, he said, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous. And then he said another thing. He said, meditate on the word day and night. Meditate on the word day and night. So what are we going to do the next 7 days? We're going to take special time. We're going to put it in the book. We're reading it. You ought to be reading a different book of the Bible. Try reading a different one every day. Timothy, James, Jude. It only has 1 chapter. Come on, guys. You can read it in less than 5 minutes. They're powerful. I read a different book every day. In the book of Acts, I love it. Romans, I love it. So powerful. I've been reading the Old Testament. I spent a couple weeks going back and forth, gospels, epistles. So what are you doing? He said, meditate on the word and speak it. He said, meditate on the word day and night, and then that you be careful to do what's written in it. You can't just read it. You got to be careful to do what's in it. And then these are the biblical words that he said. If you do all that, you will be prosperous and successful. That's your problem. You're trying to do it on yourself. You're trying to do your business, your whatever it is, your marriage, your blah, 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 blah. I got to do it. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Meditate on my word and then do what my word says. And it says, you will be prosperous and successful. See, I don't apologize for those 2 words about being prosperous and successful. It's not by chance you meditate on the word tonight and you're going to be prosperous. That's the problem. You're work, 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 work. God never designed you spiritually, mentally, physically to always work. You got to have your Sabbath. You know who your Sabbath is? Jesus. It's not a day. It's his presence. And some of you work, 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 work. How far along are you? You're probably further back. The more money you make, the more money you spend. But if you do this, he said, that's when you're going to be prosperous and successful. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. See, God invented meditation. He said, meditate on my word at night. Saturate yourself in it. Wake up with a word. Go to bed with a word. Play the word in your car. Listen to it in music. Listen to it, whatever you got. Get the word flowing. Meditate on it. If you do it, you're going to be prosperous. Well, you know, prosperous, successful. Come on, pastor. Now you're preaching a prosperity message. No, I'm not. And you might say, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, you know what? You don't believe it, but you know why? I believe it, and that's why you're sitting in a debt-free church. You know that chair you're sitting on? It's paid for. You know this building? It's paid for. You know that property we own? It's paid for. You know why? Because we sow and we reap. When the money comes in, Lord, where do you want me to sow? This church tithes. Don't we, Karina? You think it just comes in and stays here? Uh-uh. We're a warehouse. We say, God, where do you want us to sow? Because we believe in the Word of God. I just got a picture the other day from a school in Angola that was built with money you sowed. Dr. Hansen will tell you about it when he gets here. That's why the Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not of all his benefits. See, he said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. You're going to lend, not borrow. Like I said, you're sitting in a debt-free seat in a debt-free building because we know the responsibility of being stewards over God's money. Somebody shout, come on, I'm just going to believe I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to believe God can pay off my house. I just got to believe that God can pay off my car. I just got to believe I'm going to have more than enough. I'm going to believe that I'm going to send my kids to college. Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm going to believe that I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to be blessed so I can be a blessing. Listen, religious people get real spiritual when they're in the financial crisis. But people that walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the living word, they always live by his word because they're constantly meditating on his word. They take steps on his word. They devour his word because they believe his word. And they simply ask me to agree with their obedience to God's word. You can't make fun or belittle people whose God is supplying their needs. Folks, I literally started with nothing. No ministry, no education. Nothing but this Bible. I meditated on it, and everything God has done is for his glory because it's God who's done it. I want you to say that. Come on. To God be the glory. See, you can prosper. You can be successful no matter where you start. Single mother, you can be prosperous. You can be successful. Former drug addict, you can prosper. You can be successful. Let me tell you, you can meditate on the book right there. And once God begins to open doors, no man can stop it. You can trust, but you got to be bold. You can't be pitiful. I said, we're going to be courageous, and we're going to be prosperous, and we're going to be successful. Somebody give God praise. And the last one. No, you know what? You need to say it. I will be successful for the glory of God. Now take a praise break and really praise him. Come on. So you're having a little financial trouble. All right? Good time to fast and pray. And all of a sudden, God's going to give you some strategies. You need to sell a house? Fast and pray. There's a wall that's keeping your house from being sold. It needs to come down. Yeah. But you got to be obedient. You got to be obedient to God. This is not a theory of hope, guys. God loves to bless his people, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You don't have to live in fear, always fearing the worst to happen. You don't have to go around saying, oh God, if I could just get by. I'm going to have a leadership meeting the other day, when is it? I don't remember when. Huh? Next week? It's coming up. And we're going to talk about this. And I told Courtney, you know, that you give us at the end of the year, the contribution report. I said, Courtney, you know, I'll never ask anyone to do something I'm not willing to do and beyond. So I gave it to Courtney. I said, when we present this to the leaders and we say, are you obeying God? I want you to show them what Irene and I have done. See, that's kind of transparent. I won't show it to everybody. But I will show it to my leaders. Because one of the things the Bible wants us to be is real and sincere. I'm not trying to shame anyone, okay? I'm just saying that when you fast and you pray, all of a sudden, there's something that changes in you. The Holy Spirit will transform you. See, the Bible does it, and it says that if you follow God's simple instructions and you fix your eyes on the commander of the armies, and you take off your shoes, and you be still and know that he's God, and you worship him, and you spend some time with him, and you meditate on his word day and night, and you live a repentant lifestyle, you're going to be strong, you're going to be courageous, you're going to be prosperous, and you're going to be successful. Amen. The last one. I know I'm gone over. Give me 3 minutes, okay? Nobody said okay. Listen, stay with me, all right? Don't change the channel. There's nothing on TV anyway. The bowl happened. There was nothing super about it. It's already over. Thank God the Seahawks won. Oh, I made some enemies there. Thank you for your enthusiasm, like Bishop says. You're my favorite now. Number three. God said, listen. This is the last one, okay? God said, now listen. He said, now listen. While they're marching for the first 6 days, tell them to be quiet and not speak a word. Keep silent the next 7 days. Keep silent. Quit complaining. Quit talking about the wall. Stop talking about your problem the next 7 days. Quit speaking ill of others. Quit criticizing. Especially if you're in any leadership in this region, whether it's church or government or schools. I hear a lot of people complaining about the schools, and I'm not saying whatever. I'm just saying, the same way about our governments, county or city, the same way about me, only bite harder. The governor, maybe you should pray instead. How's your criticizing and your complaining? Has it changed anything? I didn't think so. But what it's done, it's enabled the darkness. Maybe you need to shut down social media. Would that be something? Just get offline and just shut up and say, I'm giving God that time. Listen to me. I give you permission right now that if anyone starts speaking negative things around you, your family, whatever, someone sitting near you. And if they're in here and they're hearing this sermon or you watching me at your home, I give you permission to interrupt them right now or anytime that you're around them and say, you know what, Pastor said be quiet. There's power in your tongue. Why are you cursing yourself? Tell them. Tell them that. If it's not life you're speaking, that's not victory. If it's doubt, if it's fear, I don't want to hear it. Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. They just let it flow. But a wise man quietly holds back and keeps quiet. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth, keep watch over the door of my lips. So God tells Joshua, order your army to speak not a word. All I want the enemy to hear from you is the sound of march for 7 days. He's saying, what if he had stopped on, you know, march for 7 days? He said, take 7 trumpets. You think God's trying to tell you something? He's saying, what if he had stopped on the 3rd day, the 5th day, or the 4th day? But God say, 7 days. I mean, 7 days, 7 trumpets. And on the 7th day, 7 times marching. That day, 7. And then blow the trumpet. You know, the blowing of the trumpet is the wind going through the instrument, right? We are God instruments. And the wind of the Holy Spirit is ready to refill us. And God's plan will bring the victory and the walls will fall if we allow the wind of heaven to blow through us. But the reason you're not victorious is because you allow the winds of hell to blow through you. We are the anointed of the Holy Spirit. Fasting takes your prayer to a whole nother level. He's giving you the family. He's giving you what's on the other side. He's giving you your family. He's giving you what's on the other side of the pain. But the walls must fall. You got to believe it today. So as I close, are you ready for 7 days? Let's finish strong. Let's finish with joy. And I really feel this thing about future generations like these kids we prayed for. I really feel this thing. I cannot back down. I feel this thing about prosperity and to be successful. I believe that Deming is going to be prosperous. I believe that Deming is going to be successful. And people look at me like, you're crazy. You're stupid. Look, there's nothing here. We don't even have a mall. And I tell them, malls of yesterday, no one has a mall. It's all online. But you're wearing the shoes of the past, and you're trying to see prosperity from wearing shoes of the past. Listen to me. I'm glad to know that there's a God who wants me to be prosperous. He wants me to be successful. He wants me not to be living misery. But I got to meditate on His Word. And I got to put Him first. And I got to come to church. And I got to listen to what the preacher's saying. And then I got to apply what the preacher's saying to my life. I got to worship my God. I got to worship my King. I got to praise my King. I got to spend time with my Lord. I got to shut my phone down. I got to stop working so much 7 days a week to make things end. Maybe that's your problem. And then I need some finance as well. You've been sowing. What are you reaping? I need some love. Well, you're being rude. Listen to me. I know I'm dangerous ground here preaching like this because there are those that might criticize. And like my leader said, they're hypocritical. I don't know. I don't care. I'm believing that the Word is true and the Word does not return to God void. So I'm sowing the Word and I'm believing that what God is saying is going to bring back a fruit into this life, into this city life, into this region, into this community. Because what God told Joshua is what He spoke to me. He said entire generations will be affected. If you'll do what I say. That's what my wife and I are believing for a place where we can house the church of youth. It looks impossible. It really does. If you look at it in the natural. But I'm going to believe God. I'm going to fast. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe that those walls that have held it back are coming down. The walls that have held you back from believing the same are going to come down. And you're going to believe for a greater place for the kingdom of God's influence in this city. Your business is going to grow. Your business might even have to, I don't know, maybe it's going to sell. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that success and prosperity, is you're going to see it before the ends of your day, Henry. And things have shifted for you. Things have shifted for you, Raymond. You know, if you can hear me. But I'm saying that things have shifted not because of anything you've done, because simply of your obedience to God. And out of your obedience to God, God blesses because God is a God of faithfulness. So what is it in your life that you want to shift? Maybe you need to do something different that you've done before. I know this is a dangerous word for a preacher to preach because people might get mad and say, oh, that preacher's full. I ain't going back. I'm going back somewhere where they just tickle my ear. Like I told my leaders this morning, and I've said it here before, you have to understand, I want my ceiling to be your floor. because I want to see you successful. I want to see you prosperous. And I will not listen to anyone that's negative or cynical or fearful. I will only listen to those that the Spirit of God is speaking through them that say, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Worship Him today. Lift your hands up to the Lord.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day.
Mateo, I love you. You're watching me. And Las Cruces, I bless you in Jesus' name.
Day and night, night and day, let incense.
Oh, lift up your hands to the Lord and worship Him. Say, God, I believe. God, I'm willing to do this. God, I'm willing to respond to you. I am worshiping you with all my heart.
You are worthy of it all.
You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus.
You are worthy of it all.
My heart is yours, Jesus.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things, and you deserve.
I believe that the walls are coming down now. In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, say it, in the name of Jesus, walls around me are coming down, I believe my God, I believe my God,
I exalt
you, Lord. All right, now it's your turn. It's your turn. I want you to say this. I need you to respond. It's one thing to hear. Listen to me. The most important thing in a church service is not what the preacher speaking. It's you responding to what he's speaking. I can, you know, went through the whole thing and you never respond to it, nothing happens. So I'm going to lead you through a confession because I need you to respond to it, and you respond by faith. Okay? Let's start with this. Father, in the name of Jesus, today I've heard this message and I receive it into my heart. Let it be sealed in me. I believe it will produce fruit in my life as I stand on the promises of God's word. So today, I call myself prosperous, successful. Wealth and riches are in my home. I call myself healed. I call myself healthy. Now, body, listen to me. I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. I call all my needs met. I do not lack health. I do not lack finances. You got to say it like you believe it. I do not lack finances. God supplies all my needs according to His value system. By Christ Jesus, my mind is renewed by the Word of God. Therefore, I forbid thoughts of failure and defeat to inhabit my mind. And even though many fall at my side, I proclaim your word. Evil will not come near me. I loose the angels now. I charge the angels with your words, my God, to garrison about my home, around my family, my finances, and to guide me into wisdom of God. This shall be by the words of my mouth, by the Spirit of God, by the word of God and by the angels of God. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. My heart beats with a rhythm of life. The spirit and life of God's word flows in me, cleansing my blood of every disease, of all impurity, every cell that does not promote life and health in my body is cut off from its source. My immune system is strengthened and will not allow tumorous growth in my body. In Jesus' name, all the promises of God to me are yes and amen. God's word is true, it cannot fail, and it's working in me now. Oh, Jesus, I will not let your word depart from me, but I'll meditate on it day and night. I'll act upon it daily. Therefore, I will prosper and I will succeed in all that I do for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Come on, praise Him. Come on, somebody needs to praise Him. Woo!